So we're currently here with Dr. Rohini Bisal, who will be one of the many women talking to us around the 16 days of activism for violence against women and children. Dr. Rohini is a survivor of domestic violence and recently won a court case.
Yes, got my protection order.
Yes, a protection order against a colleague slash former boyfriend who attacked her in the parking lot of her
Yes,
workplace.
that's great.
So let's start off at the very beginning. Where did you guys meet and what happened?
Okay, so we dated 2.5 years ago. I met him at the cafeteria in University of the Western Cape. So we studied the same degree, and that was just a meeting, and that was it. But we reconnected in 2016. We were on Facebook after our meeting, and he messaged, and then we exchanged numbers, and that's when our communication started. So it was very cordial in the beginning. It was because I was in Cape Town and he was in Durban at that time doing his comm serv, and we were speaking a lot and getting to know each other, and obviously started taking. And that's when that was before I left to go back to Cape Town, when I wanted to finalize that. So I knew where I stood as well. And so that happened. We dated and then we broke up. It was literally a very short dating period, but very traumatic, if I could say. It was approximately 6 months that it lasted, and it ended in 2016. That's what happened, and I just told myself I'm not going to have anything to do with this person until the incident that happened that changed everything. On the 27th of July at approximately 6 p.m., I was encountered with him. So I was busy with a patient late in the evening, and I saw and I could hear my phone vibrating, and I turned around and I saw it was his name, and we haven't spoken for a month. And I made sure I saw to my patients, saw them off, and went back in. At that point, when I saw my patients off, I saw him walking up and down my car in the doctor's parking. And then I went back in and he tried calling me again, and I answered, and I specifically told him I do not want to speak to him. This is when I decided I don't want to have anything to do with him at all. And he insisted he needed to speak to me, and I told him and I advised him, I need to leave Promise. Promise is my dental assistant. I need to leave Promise at the taxi rank because she's getting late, and I don't want to leave her too late anyway. And I also just don't want to speak to you or have an encounter with you. So anyway, I cut the call, I locked up, and I walked out to an entrance, and he was standing there, and he greeted Promise, and he just looked at me and told me he wants to speak to me. And I told him specifically, I don't want to speak to you. So I started walking towards my car. It became personal where he started demanding for gifts he gave me. So at that point, I told him, I will gladly return those gifts to you because, it was something so petty. I found it was not even necessary. So I walked to my car. He blocked my car door, the driver's door, and he told me he wants to speak to me about what is going on in the work environment. And that's when I thought, this is not the environment to do this. It's not even this is the environment. You just don't do that to another human being. And I tried to open my car door, and he slammed the door. Didn't want to let me get into my car, and I said, I don't want to talk to you. Multiple times saying, I do not want to talk to you. No is no. So I pushed him away, trying to get into my car to get away from him because he did not want to listen. He pulls me towards him and he pushes me to the ground. At that point, I landed on my elbow, so my elbow was completely, it felt numb. I was so shocked. I felt as if everything around me had blocked off, because let's just take this into consideration. My dad's never laid a hand on me, nor has he verbally abused me or emotionally or mentally abused me. So this for me was something so new that I was completely unaware of it, or didn't even know existed. And my upbringing was, I'm really grateful to say my parents have brought me up in a very, I would like to say, protected manner, where they protected me from these things that go on. I mean, you hear all these things that happen, but when it actually happens to you, you go into a shock where you really think, am I dreaming, or what exactly is happening to me? And he pulled me up the floor and he shook me. And that was it for me. There was no remorse shown. There was no apology. And I remember holding my elbow because I'm like, man, my elbow is sore. Next thing I know, I look down on the floor. My car key is completely dismantled. I've never seen my car key dismantled in my life. So obviously the force was that much where my car key is just dismantled. I couldn't get into my car. So what's the next thing I do? Try to call for help. So I try calling my mom, I try calling my dad, and I try calling one of the owners. And they answered, and they obviously rushed to me at that point. Eventually, me trying to put my car keys back to itself again, I did that. I got into my car, and I obviously couldn't drive. I was way too shaken up about that. And I could see he was making phone calls and all of that to obviously get some help. I don't know what he was doing, to be honest or quite frank with you. But I know that that incident itself, I didn't realize what impact it would have on me after it happened, because you know when a certain situation happens, it's always the after effects that you feel the most. I went into depression. I had to see someone. I had to speak about it. I felt it didn't help sometimes. I mean, going to court, I mean, this is when we took it out further, where I realized I needed a protection order against this person. Fair enough, you know, I still cared about him, and I was like, you know what, I can't believe somebody who I cared about would do something like this. You know, it was always a respect I had for him professionally, and it was something that we agreed on, having a healthy relationship, and this is what happens. So for me, I also felt a bit betrayed with regards to friendship, with regards to our understanding we had together. So that was just completely also thrown out the window for me.
Tell me, when that incident happened, where this man that you trust, you know, you've known him for years, he's someone who you respect, when he just took you to the ground, what was happening in you at that time? What was going on?
Complete shock. I won't even lie to you. There was a lag in my response, because I remember envisioning myself on the ground, but everything around me was like a blur. Because I was in such a shock. Like, you block out what you hear. Your eyesight becomes sharp. That's what I'm looking for. And it's literally just you in this bubble and this man standing in front of you who's done this to you. It's scary. I mean, even the setting, it was dark. It was in a parking lot. Fair enough, I had somebody there, my assistant, but even she was standing there in absolute shock. What are you supposed to do in this situation? You're helpless. Yeah.
And you were talking about the feelings that went through you after. Yes. So you guys were there, and at that point you got up and you told him, I'm going to lay charges.
That's when my parents came through. Because at that point I was still shaken up. When my parents came through, I had a little bit more of comfort.
Yeah.
So that's when I released. I cried. I cried my eyes out, if I have to say. And my parents actually gave me that strength. And I realized he was telling my parents I fell to the ground. I wasn't pushed. And that got me angry, because I'm like, how can somebody who's just done something to you lie about what just happened? Also, the fact that you had a witness. So what are you doing? Why are you lying about that?
So you went, you opened the case, and you got to see your lawyers. And
yes.
During that time when this case started now, so you were working to get a protection order.
Yes.
And at the same time, you were going through your own emotions, because you were
definitely
healing from what happened.
Yes, yes, yes.
Describe that.
Gosh, every time I had to explain the scenario to people, because I had to do it to my attorneys, my psychologist, my family.
Reliving it.
Reliving that moment. And people would think, you know, it's not a big deal, because, oh, what, you just got pushed to the ground. No. It's not just getting pushed to the ground. If you consider every other aspect, the person's not used to it. It's emotional and mental abuse. You were emotionally and mentally abusing me prior to you physically abusing me. Physical abuse, I feel, is just taken so much more seriously than emotional and mental abuse, because it's just not unseen. It's not seen. Mm. So at that point, you relive everything. And for me, it was reliving the physical aspect, the mental aspect, the emotional aspect. Everything just coming together, and you literally just don't know what to do. It was really depressing. I would confidently say I went through depression. I went through depression where I thought, everything's over. How am I supposed to? There was mornings where I'd wake up and I couldn't move because I'd feel, okay, maybe I just don't want to go to work today. Or maybe I just don't want to do anything. But I made sure I got up and I was like, okay, no, I need to see my patients. I need to do this. So when I'm at work, I was busy and I was active, and that kept my mind busy. Mm. As soon as I was not busy, that's when everything happened again. Mm. Where I relive everything. I think driving home was the worst because I'm like, I'm in the same car. This happened in this environment.
Yeah.
Parking where I normally park in the doctor's parking, that for me was also a little bit of a traumatic experience. And I'm like, I need to get over this. Let me go park there. And that's how I started getting over things, where I'm like, you need to just get over it. You can't let a certain situation control you for your entire lifetime. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people spoke to me, and I guess I got my strength from my family, my friends, my very close friends. Not everyone knows this. So for me, doing this for me is a huge thing. And when I did that, I felt liberated and empowered. And I felt myself again, because I would consider myself as a very empowered and strong person. And I felt as if, as you said, somebody took my power away. And how could I have let that happen to me?
And how many women let that happen every
exactly.
day?
Exactly. And it's not worth it. I can tell you that much. It's not worth it. Feel what you need to feel, but get over it. Because you are much more than that. And I always tell myself one thing that helps me get through everything. And that's the one person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with is yourself. Always consider yourself first. It's really not selfish. It's about you knowing your self-worth, knowing how much you love yourself before you can let anybody else love you. Mm. Really.
Now let's get on to the 16 days of activism.
Yes.
On Monday, what did you get?
I got my protection order.
Against this guy.
Yes.
And how did that make you feel, number one?
You know, I always tell people that it felt as if a huge weight on my shoulders just floated away. A lot of people just say that, and I never really understood what they meant by that when I actually felt it on Monday. Because I really thought I'm going into court for the fourth time just to get for it to get adjourned again. And I know so many people go through this when they go to court and they're like, oh, adjourned, adjourned, adjourned. And then they just drop the case. I mean, there's so many times where people that I knew personally told me, Rahini, just settle it out of court. You don't need this in your life. And I thought to myself, there's so many more women going through this. I need to be that voice for them as well. And that's what kept me going. I'm like, I know I can do this and I will do this, even though it's emotionally and mentally draining me. I know I can. And I won't lie, the support from my family has been phenomenal. Without them, I don't think I would have got through this. But yeah, I would just definitely say be strong, keeping strong.
Now let's talk about actually making the first big move, mm-hmm. either opening a case or trying to get a restraining order.
Yes.
Many women are not afraid to do it, but maybe they feel a lack in the justice system, so they feel like mm-hmm. they don't even have to do it because it's going to make no... He's probably going to hit them or kill them before with it or without it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to say to these women who are currently in a situation where... It can be a partner, it can be a colleague, someone who is abusing them physically, emotionally. They are not making that move. What would you say?
I would first say, you know, if speaking to them in a polite manner and, you know, obviously communicating it with them, and if they still do not understand that, and if they still push through your own personal boundaries, that is a problem. Do not be scared. I would really highly suggest seek legal advice before you even do anything, because that would give you a good understanding of how to go about doing it. That's when you get that confidence and actually know your rights. A lot of women don't know their rights. You have a right of movement. You have a right for freedom. That all comes into your own personal space. Nobody has a right to come into that personal space. As soon as that's broken, there's a huge problem. You don't have to wait until you are hit. You don't have to wait until you are sworn at, or where it gets to that extent. If it's something where you see as a red flag, take action now. Because if you speak about it and the person's not willing to listen, it's going to continue, unfortunately. So definitely seek legal advice first, know what you're dealing with, and then they would give you advice based on what you are personally going through.
What do you think of what they call the war on women? There are so many different things. Women are getting murdered. Children are getting murdered. Women are getting abused. Women are getting emotionally and physically mm-hmm. abused. They're not even getting to a point of death, but they're slowly dying on the inside mm-hmm. because someone is abusing them. What would you have to say about that?
I think personally what I feel is that women nowadays are so much more empowered, so much more liberated, and they have so much more freedom. And I feel men are intimidated by that. Simple. Back in the day, women weren't expected to work. They weren't expected to have a voice. They were expected to be submissive, and they were expected to just listen to their husbands or partners. Now that there is such a change, I feel men are feeling really intimidated. They're feeling as if they are not having control anymore, and that is agitating them. And that is why they're taking out their anger and aggression on women, innocent women. They can be women that they don't even know from a bar of soap, but they're going ahead, killing them, raping them. I honestly do not have any rationale for them about that, but that is an indication that I can bring forth, which makes sense to me. So all the strong women out there, you know, unfortunately, just be careful. Even if you're nuts or...
How do women find their strength again?
The more you speak about it, the more you let people know, listen, I'm struggling. Please help me. With all sincerity, just, I know some people think if they do that, they're not going to get the help. But you'd be surprised how many other people are going through the exact same thing. Form a unity, form a union, form a support group. That's going to definitely help you get through it. When you do that, you give strength to another woman, and that woman gives strength to you, or the other woman that are included in that group. And you can build up such a powerhouse where you just create so much of confidence and strength in every single woman.
I'm going to stop you there.
Cool.